Mushu pork and Peking duck are now as familiar to Westerners as chop suey and chow mein were to another generation. But the food we know is that of the regional cuisines of the Han Chinese, the majority ethnic group in China. As the Olympics near, Weekend Edition food commentator Bonnie Wolf talks with author Jeffrey Alford about what he calls the other China.
If you've seen Genghis Khan galloping across the Mongolian steppes in the movie Mongol, you might forget that Mongols today are part of modern China. They are one of the 55 tribal groups called minority peoples by the Beijing government. They live on 3/5 of China's land, but they are not ethnically Chinese. Think Tibet. These tribal people are 8% of China's population, 100 million people. They live in Inner Mongolia, the Western Silk Road region of Xinjiang, and other lands outside central China's westernizing cities. Jeffrey Alford and his wife Naomi Dugui first traveled in these areas in the 1980s when China opened its borders. When they returned in 2005, they were startled by the changes. And they're worried that the tribal cultures are in danger as China explodes economically and more Han Chinese relocate into their communities. So they wrote a book called Beyond the Great Wall, Recipes and Travels in the Other China. It tells the story of the tribal groups through gorgeous photos, travelogues, and recipes. They call it a political cookbook. I asked Jeffrey Alford what that means.
We just couldn't believe that there was so much change taking place, and some of this change is really badly affecting a lot of the non-Han populations. We wanted to bear witness to some of it, and we wanted actually to come out before the Olympics when people are paying attention and say, everything that's happening is not all good.
One way the authors are trying to protect the cultures is through preservation of their cooking. Jeffrey Alford says the recipes in the book are easy for North American cooks. We have the equipment in our kitchens and can find most of the food at the market. So when he was in Washington, D.C. recently, we went to an Asian market in Northern Virginia called, coincidentally, the Great Wall.
In this book, we keep saying to people, this is not Chinese food. The purpose of the book is to describe, like, if you drew the map of the world and you drew the borders as a result of food and culture, China would look completely different. Like, Kazakh cooking is not like Chinese cooking, and Uyghur cooking, and Tibetan cooking, and Dai, and Dong, and all these people. Like, they don't cook Chinese food, they just live in China. So here in the supermarket, I'm looking at essentially Han Chinese food.
But he says we'll find everything we need.
What I talk about in the book is food from relatively remote places. So people living in yurts, they're not going to cook that complicated.
We walk through the produce section overflowing with bags of baby bok choy, a huge variety of mushrooms, sprouts, pea tendrils. Alford concedes one good thing the Han Chinese have brought with them to these remote areas, more vegetables.
There's a lot more greenhouses, a lot more vegetable gardening, where there can be vegetable gardening, because they don't really want local food.
As we pass an aisle of chilies, Alford talks about the use of condiments. Fresh tomato salsa, tomato and ginger chutney, pickled chilies.
If you're eating a staple food like rice, you eat rice every day, often three times a day. What you're really eating in substance is your rice, and then you're bringing flavor to the rice. This is sticky rice or glutinous rice. You have to soak it in water overnight and then take it out of the water and then steam it. Down in this province, Yunnan, among many of these tribal populations, it's the staple rice.
Noodles and dumplings are another way Alford marks cultural identity. Kazakh noodles with goat broth, Yi rice noodles with pork and tofu, Tibetan earlobe noodles. He says you can see the whole story of Tibet in a bowl of tsampa.
Tsampa is the primary food in Tibet, and it's a barley, roasted barley. They have also butter tea, and you have yak, butter made from yak milk. And then you mix it into the tea, and then you salt it. And so when you have that butter tea, and then you can pour a little bit into your tsampa to moisten it and make balls, or you can have it like an oatmeal porridge.
In contrast to the harsh climate of Tibet, where little but barley grows, is the tropical province of Yunnan, with pineapple fields and banana plantations. Pigs do well in the heat, so pork is a diet staple. Stir-fried with pickled greens or corn and chilies. There's another staple, dried mushrooms, including what are called tree ears.
We have a lot of recipes for tree ears because, again, it's sort of poor people food.
Reconstituted dry tree ears are common in American versions of Chinese soup. And soup in China transcends ethnic and regional boundaries. It's on every table, Han or Mongol.
It's served at every meal, and it's served after the meal and sometimes before the meal. You wouldn't ever have a meal without soup.
And so we end our visit at the Market's Cafe with, what else? A steaming bowl of simple broth. For NPR News, I'm Bonnie Wolf.